Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. I feel nervous. I've live streamed like 2,000 times. And I feel nervous for the stream. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be great. Let's everybody load up in the chat. And then I'm going to give you instructions on what we're going to be doing for the next 90 days. For those of you that are panicking in the chat saying, I don't know how to get on this. I don't know how to download it. Don't panic. I'm going to show you how to get the app, how to download it, and how to start the plan. And if you don't have it, you can just follow along with us. I'm going to be reading it anyways. But everybody, welcome. We're starting on time. Yes, on time. It is 2 p.m. right now, and every single day, we're not doing a five-minute waiting for people to get in. They'll have to come in late or rewatch it. We are going to be on time every day, God willing, at 2 p.m. sharp. We're going to be on here, and we're going to be reading the Bible together in 90 days, okay? So, who's excited for this? Let me know. Let's start with a prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, God, for what you're doing in our midst. And Lord, I just pray that this 90 days would cause people to fall in love with the Bible. I pray, Lord, that not only would they fall in love with the word, but they'd fall in love with the author. I pray, Lord, that this would excite people and it would ignite a fire in people to get in the scripture. We know, Lord, that there's life in scripture. There's power in scripture. There's correction. There's reproof. There's all these things, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your word. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing on the cross. And I pray, Lord, that these streams would reach many people for your honor and your glory. There'd be transforming power as we do these 90 days. And Lord, people's lives would be changed, that the seed would fall on good ground and it would produce a harvest. We just bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, guys, so we are doing the Bible in 90 days. This is day one. If you've been here since the beginning, welcome. Well, I guess I'd say that tomorrow if you've been here since the beginning. I'm tongue twisted, but welcome. It's gonna be a great time. So grateful that all of you are on here. We're going to be live every single day at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, reading through the Bible in 90 days. Now, there's a couple things you can do. You can join in and listen live, put it on while you're at work, put it in the AirPods. You can get home and watch it because the lives will be on my channel indefinitely on the live tab. I'll make a playlist and they'll get put into the playlist, which will be called Bible 90 Days. You can read along as I'm reading. You can mute me and read along. You can do it on your own. It doesn't matter. What matters is you getting excited about the Word of God and finishing the Bible in 3 months. It's a big goal, but it's powerful. It's life-changing. So there's many ways you can do it. You can listen to me while you're at work. I'll read it for you. And then when you get home, you can read it. Okay, and see what you, or maybe I read it and then you get some parts you want to look back on. There's no wrong way to do it. There's no right way to do it. I'm just going to be on here every single day. I only stream usually 2 times a week. Now I'm going to be streaming 9 times a week. So this is a big challenge, but it's going to be a great time reading the Bible. So let me show you how to do this. The mods are putting the plan in the comments, but there's a lot of you that don't even know what app it is. So let's start there. You're going to go to your app store and just type in Bible, okay? And this is going to be the Bible that we're using. Let me show it on screen. This is the Bible that we are using. The 90-day... Well, it's not the 90 day yet. It's just the YouVersion Life Church Bible app. Okay? YouVersion Life Church Bible app. That's what it looks like. Now, once you download that Bible app, and I know some of you are like, this is obvious. Well, there's a lot of people on Facebook. We love you guys on Facebook. Is Facebook working? I hope it is. Yes, it is. That did not know how to do this or what the app was called. And so I'm going to help you guys out. Okay? Once you have the app, you're going to make an account and you're going to go to the bottom where it says plans. Okay? So at the very bottom, see how it says plans? You're going to hit plans on the middle bottom column. Once you're in plans, you're going to search for Bible in 90 days. Okay. Once you've searched that, a bunch of them are going to come up. Very important. We're doing the fourth one down. Fourth one down. That's the one we're doing. One. Wait, where's my finger? 1, 2, 3, 4. There it is. Number 4. It's the Bible on the desk with a guy in a plaid shirt. The fourth one down. Bible in 90 days. Okay. Once you do that, very easy. All you do is you start the plan. And this is going to tell you every single day what we're going to be reading. So if you miss out, it'll tell you what we're going to be reading. It'll check it off. Today, we're going to be reading Genesis 1 through 16, and then so on and so forth. There will be some break days, which we'll talk about that later. But that's going to be the Bible app we're using. Bible in 90 days, Life Church Bible app. It's about 15 to 16 chapters, depending on the day. We're going to be reading through, and it's going to be a great time. So does anybody have any questions before we get started. Any questions? Now, some of you are doing the one-year Bible. I was on another Bible plan. I left that Bible plan to do the 90-day Bible plan, okay? So you might need to leave your 1 year. You can still do your 1 year if you want, but get on this, guys. This is what this is going to do. Some of you are so used to just eating junk food all the time, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all day. This is going to be healthy food for your soul, and you're going to start craving healthy food. Like, nobody craves healthy food immediately. Everybody wants junk food. Everybody wants drive-through. But once you start eating healthy food, those of you that know, I wish I was that person, but I don't eat physically healthy food usually. But once you do, you start craving it. Spiritually, once you're eating the Word of God, you're going to start craving the Word of God. You're going to have an appetite for the Word of God. Okay, so this is what this is going to do. It's going to spark a hunger in you, spark a desire in you. For those of you asking which translation, I am going to do the New Living Translation. That is going to be the easiest to follow along and read for extended periods of time. I usually study, hi Celeste, glad you're here. I usually study in the New King James Version or King James, depending. But for reading, it's much easier to do the NLT. So you can follow along with anything though. I recommend NLT, ESV, any of those are good. And yeah, Tanya said she's going to be making dinner while she listens every day. Praise the Lord. You guys don't have to watch. You can listen as well. But that's everything. I hope that's helped you guys. NLT, let's jump into it here. Here we go. Every day, 2 o'clock, we're going to be reading through. I'm not going to speed read, but I'm not going to read slow. I'm not going to be like in the, we're not going to read that slow, but we're not going to speed through it. It's going to be hopefully where you can understand and be praying for me as well. Cause you know, it's a lot of reading and it's like, I'm live. There's 1,000 people on and it's, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking sometimes. But let's get started. Genesis 1. Everybody open their Bible or just listen. Be a part. You guys can chat as you want in the thing. And I decided I'm not going to sit there and like preach everything and try to like give you every point because it's just going to take way too long. But I might stop and make a point here or there for a really good thing that I see. But I'm not going to be like teaching and preaching through just because I talk a lot and it's going to take a long time. And so here we go. Let's do it. We are in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. Now, let me stop and say this. All right. I wasn't gonna stop and do this. This is very important. The first four words of the Bible, in the beginning God, let that be. I was like, I am not gonna stop. First four words, I'm stopping. Let that be the start of everything you do in life. In the beginning God. In the beginning of my job, in the beginning of my day, in the beginning of my marriage, in the beginning of relationships, in the beginning of the business I start. In the beginning God. Start everything with God. And your life will work out. So I just want to stop there. The first four words, you got to stay there. In the beginning, God. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters in the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together in one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came, and that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. By the way, shout out to my mom for homeschooling me and helping me learn how to read. Hope I'm making you proud, Mom. Then God said, let the lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Guys, I know. Don't tell me to slow down, please, because I'm not going to go any slower. I'm already slowing down as much as I can. We'll be here for 2 hours a day if we do it too much slower. All right. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth, and that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, let the water swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and the birds multiply on the earth. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals and that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's powerful. We already know, male and female, two genders. Yeah, it's right there in the Bible. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. I have four kids, so I've done my job. Thank you, Lord. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life, and that is what happened. Then God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Chapter 2. We made it through one chapter so far. This is going to take a little bit longer than I thought, but praise the Lord, here we are. Chapter 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was complete. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day that he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there was no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man that he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden and dividing it into four branches. The first branch was called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, which I'm going to pronounce all of this wrong, just so you guys know, where gold is found. The gold of the land that is exceptionally pure, aromatic resin, and onyx stone are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed through the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Ashur. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat of this tree, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave the names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But there was still no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of one of the man's ribs. Let me see. The Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man said, amen for all of you single in the chat. At last, Lord, you provided. That's what I said when I met Alyssa. Praise the Lord. This one is from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from the man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. You know what, guys? I have to hold back because I want to, you know, I want to say jokes and stuff, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to keep reading. Amen. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Chapter 3, the man and woman sinned. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It is only the tree from the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At the moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame of their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Verse 11, "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree of those whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she said. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all of the wild animals, all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust for as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." This is speaking of Jesus, will strike the head of the serpent. Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you'll desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree of whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All of your life will be a struggle to scratch a living from it. It'll grow thorns and thistles, though you'll eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, you'll have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. You were made from the dust, and from the dust you will return." Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, "Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take from the tree of life and eat it? Then they'll live forever." So the Lord God banished from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam, the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam to cultivate the ground which had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim of the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Chapter 4. Should I say it like the guy on the Bible app? Chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Now Adam. No, we're not going to say it like that. We're going to say it like an AI chatbot. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I've produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother named Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn, lambs from his flock, and the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. But he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Preach. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you'll be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You've banished me from the land and from your presence. You've made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." Then the Lord replied, "No, for I will give you a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who would try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city which was named Enoch after his son. Enoch had a son named Irad. Irad became the father of Mehezuel. I don't even know how to say these. He became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women. Go ahead and just laugh at me in the chat. I don't care. Lamech married two women. The first was named Adah, and the second was Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jubal, who was the first of those who raise livestock and live in tents. His brother's name was Jubal, the first one who played the harp and the flute. Lamech's other wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son named Tubal-Cain. What are these names? Who is naming people out here? He became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron. Tubal Cain had a sister named Nama. One day, Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Sorry, guys, I'm trying not to laugh at some of these names. Hear my voice. Listen to me, you wives of Lamech. I've killed a man who attacked me, a young man who wounded me. If someone who kills Cain is punished 7 times, then the one who kills me will be punished 77 times. Yeah, I read that right. Adam had sexual relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to another son. She named him Seth. For she said, God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. When Seth grew up, he had a son named Enosh. At the time, people first began to worship the Lord. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. I love that verse. That's amazing. Chapter 5. This is the written account. Help me, Lord. This is the written account of the descendants of Adam. When God created human beings, he made them to be like himself. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them human. When Adam was 130, he became the father of a son who was just like him. In his very image, he named his son Seth. After the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years and he had other sons and daughters. Adam lived 930 years and then he died. When Seth was 105 years old, he became the father of Enosh. After the birth of Enosh, Seth lived another 807 years and he had other sons and daughters. Then Seth lived 912 years and then he died. When Enosh was 90 years old, he became the father of Kenan. After the birth of Kenan, Enosh lived another 815 years and he had other sons and daughters. Enosh lived 905 years and then he died. When Kenan was 7 years old, he became the father of Mahalalalel. After the birth of Mahalalalel, Kenan lived another 840 years and he had other sons and daughters. Kenan lived 910 years and then he died. Lord, help me. How long is it going to go for? When Mahalalalel was 65 and became the father of Jared. Hey, Jared, you're in the Bible, bro. What? After the birth of Jared, Mahalalel lived another 830 years and he had other sons and daughters. Mahalalel lived 895 years and then he died. When Jared was 162, he became the father of Enoch. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years and he had other sons and daughters. Jared lived 962 years and then he died. When Enoch was 65, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God, and one day he disappeared because God took him. When Methuselah was 187 years old, he became the father of Lamech. After the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. We just do nicknames. That's what I'm saying. When Lamech was 182, he became the father of a son. Lamech named his son Noah, for he said, May he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed. After the birth of Noah, Lamech lived another 595 years and he had other sons and daughters. Lamech lived 777 years and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw beautiful women and took them as they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and sometime after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse, and this is actually fallen angels, sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes of famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. The Lord was sorry that he ever made man and put them on the earth, and it broke his heart. And the Lord God said, I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I'll destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry that I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Amen. That's a scripture right there. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all of this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they fill the whole earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it if it's with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat and put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you, so enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and daughters and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and female, into the boat with you and keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did, preach this, everything the Lord had commanded him. Everything. Chapter 7. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all of your family from among all the people of the earth. I can see it that you are alone and righteous. I can see it that you alone are righteous. Take with you seven pairs, male and female, of each animal. I have approved for eating and sacrifice, and take a pair of each of the others. Also, take seven pairs of every kind of bird. There must be a male and female in each pair to ensure that life will survive on earth after the flood. 7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it'll rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I've wiped the earth of all the living things I've created. So Noah did everything that God commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. He went on to board the boat to escape the flood, him, his wife, his sons, and their wives. With them, they were all various kinds of animals, those approved for eating and for sacrifice, and those that were not, along with the birds and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. Then, they entered the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God commanded Noah. After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth. When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the second month, all of the underground waters erupted from the earth and rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. The rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. That very day that Noah went into the boat with his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, with them in the boat were pairs of every kind of animal, domestic, domestic and wild. I need to make this larger so it doesn't cut off so many words. I'm going to fix a couple things for tomorrow. Domestic and wild, large and small, along with birds of every kind. Two by two, they came into the boat, representing every living thing that breathes. A male and female of each kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. That's interesting. The Lord closed the door behind them. For 40 days, floodwaters grew deeper, covering the ground and lifting the boat high above the earth. As the waters rose higher and higher above the ground, the boat floated safely on the surface. Finally, the waters covered even the highest mountains on the earth, rising more than 22 feet above the highest peaks. All of the living things on earth died: birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals, and all of the people. Everything that breathed and lived on dry ground died. God wiped every living thing on the earth, people, livestock, small animals that scurry on the ground, and birds of the sky. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those that were with him in the boat. And the floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days. Chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals. This is a great scripture as well. Highlight this in your Bible. But God remembered Noah. Lord, let me be somebody that you remember. Woo! That's good. Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and flood waters began to recede. The underground water stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the flood waters gradually receded from the earth after 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began. The boat came to rest on the mountain of Ararat. Is that how I say that? I think it is. Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. After another 40 days, Noah opened up the windows he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the floodwaters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the waters had receded and it would find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water was still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time, the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the floodwaters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days and released the dove again. This time, it did not come back. Noah was now 601. On the first day of the new year, 10 and a half months after the flood began, the floodwaters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. Two more months went by, and at last, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Leave the boat, all you have, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground, so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth." Interesting. He told them to do what they did in Genesis again. So Noah, his wife, and his sons, and their wives left the boat. And all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, they will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night." Chapter 9. Then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I've given them to you for food, just as I've given you grain and vegetables." I just want to say sorry to all the vegans there. We love you, and you guys are awesome. But the Lord said, "I've given you the animals for food. But you must never eat any meat that still has lifeblood in it. And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by the hands of human, taken by human hands. For God has made human beings in his own image. Now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth." And thank you guys for all the love in the chat, by the way. I appreciate it. Then God told Noah and his sons, "I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth. Yes, I'm confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth." Then God said, "I'm giving you a sign of my covenant and with all living creatures for generations to come. I place my rainbow in the clouds, and that is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, a rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you, with all the living creatures, and never again will floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I'll remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth." Then God said to Noah, "Yes, this rainbow is a sign of covenant I'm confirming with all the creatures on earth." Verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the boat The sons of Noah who came out of the boat with their father were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. From these three sons of Noah came all the people who now populate the earth. After the flood, Noah began to cultivate the ground and planted a vineyard. One day, he drank some of the wine that he had made and became drunk and laid naked inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and went outside and told his brothers. Then Shem and Japheth took a robe, held it over their shoulders, and backed in the tent to cover their father. As they did, they looked the other way so they would not see him naked. When Noah woke up from a stupor, he learned what Ham had done, the youngest son, and said, then he said, "Curse Canaan, the son of Ham." Which, if you guys don't know, Noah cursed Canaan, who is the son of Ham, who would become eventually the land of Canaan, because Noah's going to split one third of the earth to each of his sons. The land of Canaan, which was the land of curse that God sent the people into to go take over Canaan, and it became the land of promise. Preach. Anyways, I just had to share that with you guys. May Canaan be cursed, and may even the lowest of his servants and his relatives. And then Noah said, "May the Lord God of Shem be blessed, and may Canaan be his servant. May God expand the territory of Japheth, and may Japheth share the prosperity of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." Noah lived another 350 years after the great flood. He lived 950 years, then he died. Chapter 10. This is the account of the families of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. Many children were born to them after the great flood. All right. I am not going to go through all these guys because I can't pronounce all these names. And we're going to sit here for 10 minutes while I stutter over names. So you can go read all the descendants of Japheth. I think this is a good choice for me to just skip these. The descendants of Ham. These are all the names. You can go read the names. The descendants of Shem. You can go read all the names. I'm going to skip descendants because there's no point in me sitting here being like, the descendants were Ula, Hula, Jula, Mash, Arphaxad, the father of Shelah, Tabula, Tabila. It's just, there's no point in me doing that. But you can read it on your own, all the descendants, okay? Conclusion. These are the clans that descended from Noah's son, arranged by nation according to their lines of descendants. All the nations of the earth descended from these clans after the great flood. All right, chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches in the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord God came down to look at the city and the tower that they were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. This is why the city is called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. And this way, he scattered them all over the world. All right, again, the descendants, we're not going through those because it's just too tongue-twisting the whole time. All right. The family of Terah. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Noah, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah. Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. All right. But Sarah was able to become pregnant and had no children. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarah. That just totally throws me off the spelling. I know it's Sarah, but I'm sorry. The spelling just throws me off. His son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, and they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on the earth," that includes us guys, "will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people who had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived at Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up a camp beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord God appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar. And remember, cursed was Canaan. They go to the land of Canaan, and there's Canaanites, which are God's enemies, because Canaan got cursed. And one third of each of the land was given to Noah's sons. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar and dedicated to the Lord who appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated to the Lord, then worshiped the Lord. So this is the time we're going to see here. He worshiped the Lord. I think this is the first time we see worship here. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev. At that time, there was a severe famine that struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife Sarah, "Look, you're a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife. Let's kill him, then we can have her.' So please tell them that you're my sister. Then they will spare my life and they'll treat me well because of their interest in you," which That is weird. That's not a good call there. And sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarah's beauty. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, their king, and Sarah was taken into his palace. Listen, I would rather die than let my wife get taken into the king's palace. What? Then Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her: sheep, goats, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord sent terrible plagues upon Pharaoh and his household because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abram, accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he demanded. "Why didn't you tell me that this was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister and allow me to take her as my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and get out of here." Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them, and he sent Abram out of the country along with his wife and all his possessions. Chapter 13, or let me say it the right way. Chapter 13. So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. Yeah, we know why Abram's rich, because he said that his wife was his sister and they gave him a bunch of money because they wanted to marry his wife, who he said was his sister. From the Negev, they continued traveling by stages towards Bethel, and they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had landed before. This was the same place where Abram built the altar and where he worshiped the Lord again. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, had also become very wealthy with flocks and sheep and goats and herd of cattle and many tents. But the land would not support both Abram and Lot with all of their flocks and herds living so close together. So a dispute broke out between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. Finally, Abram said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we're close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of land that you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then take the land. Then I'll take the land to the right. If you want the land to the right, then I'll take the land to the left." Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's in parentheses. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and his servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, "Look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I'm giving you all of this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I'll give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction. I'm giving it to you." So Abram moved his camp to Hebron and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre, where he built another altar to the Lord. See, a lot of altars being built. Amen. We still need to build an altar today. Chapter 14. About this time, war broke out in the region. King Amraphel of the Babylonia, King Arioch of Elasar, King Kedorlaomer of Elam, and King Tidal of Goam fought against King Bera of Sodom, King Bersha of Gomorrah, King Shinab of Adma, King Shemabar of Zeboam, and the king of Bala, also called Zor. This is the second group of kings. This second group of kings joins forces in Sidim Valley. I'm totally tongue-twisted here. Sidim Valley, that is the Valley of the Dead Sea. For 12 years, they'd been subject to King Kedorlaomer, but in the 13th year, they rebelled against him. 1 year later, and his allies arrived and defeated the Raphites and the Ashtaroth, Cornum, the Zuzites at Ham, the Amites at and the Horites at Mount Sor, as far as this. When they turned back and came to En-Mishpat, now called Kadesh, to conquer the land of the Amalekites and also the Amorites living in Hazazon Tamar. Then the rebel kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboam, and Belal. I pronounce them and then I have to say them again and again and again and again. Prepared for battle in the Valley of the Dead Sea. They fought against the kings, I'm going to say it that way, four kings against five. As it happened, the Valley of the Dead Sea was filled with tar pits. And as the army of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some people fell into the tar pits while the rest escaped into the mountains. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils of war and all the food supplies. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew, who lived in Sodom and carried off everything that he owned. But one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abram the Hebrew, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mamre of the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives, Eshcol and Aner, were Abram's allies. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized 318 trained men who were born into his household. He then pursued King Kay and King Kay's army until he caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. King Kay's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Habah, north of Damascus. Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. So basically, Abram went and rescued his nephew. That's a good uncle there. After Abram returned from the victory over King Kay and all of his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shavah, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of the heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. This is where a lot of people get the tithe, is when Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything that had been recovered during this whole war. So a tenth, tithe, and tenth mean the same thing. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods you've recovered. Abram replied to the king of Sodom, I solemnly swear to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take as much as a single thread or sandal among from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say, I'm the one who made Abram rich. I will accept only what my young warriors have already eaten, and I'll request that you give a fair share of goods to my allies, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Chapter 15. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I'll protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all that your blessings when I don't even have a son? Amen, Lord. You hear my prayer, Lord. I don't even have a son. Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, is going to inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servants will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord God took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous, very important, because of his faith. How much longer? We're almost done. Is that right? We're almost done. Then the Lord God told him, guys, the Bible 90 days is no joke. All right, it's a lot. And Abram believed and the Lord counted righteous. Then the Lord God told him, I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I'll actually possess it? The Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Not Carl. So Abram presented all of these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, and the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord God made a covenant with Abram and said, I've given you this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Canaanites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Wow, I pronounced all those right. All right, last chapter, guys. We're on the home stretch here. Last chapter, chapter 16. And to be honest, I did not think it was going to take this long. So I'm sitting here like, we're going live every day for 90 days? Okay, thank you, Lord. Chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, Abram. Every time I see Abram, I want to say Abraham, but he's not, he doesn't have the ham yet. He's just Abram. He doesn't have the Abraham yet. The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal, which the Lord never said to do this. So be careful that you're not trying to speed up the plan of God. So, and it's very hard for me not to preach, by the way. Every single one of these things, I'm like, I want to say something and preach something. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. Then Sarah said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show you who's wrong, you or me. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Abram replied, "Look, she is your servant, so deal with it as you see fit." Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. And the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said, "Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael," which means God hears. "For the Lord God has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all of his relatives." We all know someone like that. "Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, 'You are the God who sees me.' She also said, 'Have I truly seen the one who sees me?' So that well was named Beer Laharo, which means well of the living one who sees me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Bered." So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. All right, guys. That wraps up. If you are on your 90-day Bible app, this is what you're going to do. Oh, I was hoping there wasn't another chapter. There's not. Okay, so you're going to go on your Bible app on your phone. All right, and you're going to check all the bubbles. So you just click them. Hold on, let me go back. Click all the little bubbles to check off that we have finished the first day. So let me do that. Check off all the bubbles here. Check off all the bubbles here. Check off all the bubbles. Boom. Okay, and then it's going to say you're done for day one. That's all you're going to do. You're done with day one. And then tomorrow, we go to chapter 17 to chapter 28. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to lie, guys. That took way longer than I thought. I was not expecting that to take an hour, but praise the Lord. We're going to be doing this every day. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. Father, help me. Thank you very much. I hope I was reading okay, guys. I know I was throwing like little stuff here and there and I'll make little statements as well. But when you're reading that much out loud, it starts kind of all jumbling in together. Oh, amen. I hope that was okay for you guys. I hope that the audio was okay. We're going to be doing this for 90 days at 2:00 every day. I'll also probably have some guests to do it as well. Maybe Jared, maybe Candace, maybe Alyssa, maybe the kids can join and help us a little bit as well. We'll make it fun. We'll make it fun, okay? For those of you just jumping on, this is the Bible app. We've linked it in the comments and the description. Just read all the names and pronounce. It's not going to benefit anybody if I mispronounce every name and every descendant. So I probably will just skip the descendants because you can read it on your own. You can read it on your own. It's just, it's kind of like boggling when I'm trying to pronounce every single name live on stream and then I have to go back to normal reading. It just makes it hard to do. So there's that. My links to partner are there below. Also pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That helps us out tremendously. And you can partner in all that in the comments or down below in the description. Let me make this announcement as well. Our Thursday partner prayer calls that are usually at 1:30 will now be at 1 p.m. Tanya said she made dinner and ate the whole thing while we did it. Awesome, Tanya. I'm glad this is a good time for you guys. So at 1 p.m. on Thursdays for the monthly partners, that will be the prayer call. So no longer will it be at 1:30. It'll be at 1 p.m. Pacific time, okay? Also, the book's linked in the description. You guys can grab that down there. I'll hang out for a minute. I would like to just say a quick prayer every day over you guys. and then hang out for a little bit with you guys every day as well. All right. I would like to do that. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody in this call. I thank you, Lord, for everyone on the stream. Father, I pray that we would not just make this commitment, but Lord, we would follow through. Lord, we know that you are a faithful God. And so I pray, God, that we would have that faithfulness to your word. And I pray, Lord, today that every person in here that started this today, God, that we will finish it. Lord, help me to finish it. Lord, help me every day to get through this, to finish it, and to accomplish what you've wanted me to accomplish. So Father, I just pray you bless every person, you ignite the hunger for your word, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, guys, I'm excited. Those 1,800 people, which is great. You know, we had a lot of people watching on Facebook as well. Let's see, like right now we have, okay, not that many on Facebook. A lot on YouTube right now, it says 1,500 for me. So I'm glad that people are jumping on. Let me ask another question. So I'm gonna change up a few things like the scrolling. I'm gonna get that fixed to where it's not like scrolling so much. I'm gonna also get it where my mouse pointer is off the screen. I'll fix up some stuff here as we go out throughout to make it easier for me and you to follow. Do you guys want light instrumental music in the background or no? So let me know in the chat, yes or no. Yes, if you want light instrumental music in the back. No, if you don't want any music at all, you just want it audio, me reading. So you guys let me know what you'd like in the back. And I'll just look at the comments now and kind of see, and I'll just know by how much of you guys typed. I won't even do a poll or anything. Which 90-day plan is it? It's the one with the Bible on the table. So I'll show you it one more time. You go to plans. I'm going to show you exactly. Bible, 90 days. It's going to be the third or fourth one down, okay? So when you type it in, it's going to be, let me focus, that one. See the one with the check mark? Let me just, my camera's reversed. It's going to be focus. There. See that? That one, Bible in 90 days, okay? That's going to be the one that you want, the Bible in 90 days. Okay, no music. All right. Overwhelmingly no. Okay, cool. Just making sure. Making sure. And yeah, and I appreciate you guys' support. All of you giving, partnering, it helps a lot. We're viewer supported, so all this will be free. Okay, let me also go over, this will be on my live tab on YouTube for rewatch, replay, send to people, all of that. Let's get like a snowball effect every day. I hope we grow with more people joining, but this will be on the live. It's also on the playlist on my homepage. After like, let's say a week, I'm gonna move the videos from the prior week into the playlist and unlist them, most likely, so they're not clogging up my entire channel, okay? So they're always gonna be there. So if you guys are like, where's the videos? They're in the 90 Day Bible tab, and they're also gonna be there as well. I'll also probably have a, well, I don't know, we'll talk about that later. I'll also have an option where at times, maybe if I don't have my camera on, I'll have just the Bible full screen and be reading it live, but we'll see how it goes as we progress here, okay? This is an answered prayer. I'm glad. Thank you. Okay, no music. We're gonna need no music. Is there anything else that we can change or adapt? I'm not gonna read any slower. I already feel like I'm reading very slow. I'm trying to pronunciate my words because I have a tendency of not pronunciating. I'm trying to stop at periods, pause at commas. I'm trying, guys, but I just can't go any slower because these will end up being an hour and a half, and it's just too long to go an hour and a half every single day. Yeah, no music. Okay. No music. Yeah. We won't do no music. We won't do any music. Okay. And again, I would encourage you guys, if you're listening, that's great, right? It's audio is great. And then maybe later you might want to go through again, right? We went through, we kind of can remember the whole story, Noah, the creation. We went through a lot today. Now you can kind of go through and recap it on your own, but we've gone through it, but now you can go recap it. Whatever stood out to you, maybe as I'm reading, you follow, and then you're highlighting what stands out to you. And then at the end of the night, you can go look at the five highlights you made and see what the Lord's speaking to you. Because the Lord spoke to me. Those couple of things I highlighted that the Lord was speaking to me. Like, I see you, right? When the God who sees you, that's so powerful. I'm like, Lord, you see me. Are we going to do another graduation? Yeah, we will do another graduation. But it's like, Lord, you see me, you know? You're the God who sees me. There's little things that the Lord spoke to me as I'm reading that I'll highlight for you guys. And then you guys can also highlight those. I like your little side notes while reading. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'll let this hit the hour mark and then we'll probably call it. Again, you can give monthly there in the description and support the ministry. Give one time, whatever. It doesn't matter. I appreciate either way, whatever you guys could support. It's helpful. Thank you guys. Like the music. Yeah, it's an overwhelming no, but so we'll probably just keep no music. But you know what? Also, if you guys want music, maybe throw in some instrumental on your own phone or in your living room, maybe throw in some instrumental there. Okay. But yeah, hopefully every day, same time. Yes. 2 p.m. every single day. Now, as far as the days where I'm gone preaching, I'm gone doing some type of ministry or another thing, like say a family thing comes up, right? And I'm like, I got to be at this family event or a birthday or something like that. I will pre-record these. I'll pre-record them and I'll air them live at that time. I'll air that live at the time, okay? And some days I might not be on here with the chat for a long time. Some days I might get on. We're going to get started right away and then we're going to end. You know what I mean? So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited for this journey. I'll be honest, it's definitely more than I thought. I thought I was going to get done in like 20, 30 minutes, but it's okay. The Lord's going to bring me through and it's going to be great. It's going to be great, okay? We got a long time to go. So we'll refine things, change things up. But at the end of the day, if one person gets excited about the Bible and is like looking forward to 2 o'clock to when we go through the Bible, that's enough for me. And there was 1,800 people today, which I'm so grateful for. That's amazing, right? And we're just reading the Bible, not here to teach, preach, hear about deliverance or miracle or reaction or any of that. It's just, we're plainly reading through the Bible, okay? And I want to say this as well. I will still be live on Monday night. So a book of Hebrews verse by verse, that's still going to be going. Podcast, that's still going to be going. So we're going to be doing this hour and then boom, again at night. So we'll have 9 streams a week at this point. And it's gonna be great, okay? All right. So I think I'm gonna call it there with the 1 hour mark. I love you guys so much. Salute. We're gonna get to know each other very well. Thank you for all my family. I see my mom, my dad, Cherish, all of you guys in the chat. I love all of you. I saw Celeste, my wife's in the chat. Love you guys. You guys are all amazing. Thank you. And I will see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great time at church. All right. Oh, let me also make one more announcement. I don't know how public announcement I want to make or anything, but it's a whole story, but we are going to be returning to our old home church Life Song that we were part of for 3 years. A lot of you know we transitioned to a church out closer to us, but we are going to be returning back to our previous home church Life Song. We're very excited about it. My wife and kids are very excited about it. We know the Lord is doing a new thing and doing something in us. We're going to work hard this year to be more involved in the local church, more present in the local church. And that's another thing. But yeah, we will be at Life Song. So for those of you wondering, asking, that's where we're at. Nothing against the church that we were at. Amazing, godly people. We just feel like the Lord's transitioning us back. And the Lord's ways are not our ways. We don't understand. We don't know why. But the Lord moves, the Lord changes, and the Lord does what he wants to do. So we will be back at Life Song. We're very excited about it. We'll be there tomorrow. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. Salute to you all, and we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.